From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. While local prisons and jails keep prisoners locked inside, keeping the COVID-19 outbreak behind closed doors is much more difficult. There are correctional officers and delivery workers mixing in the jails and the local community all the time. The Daily Mail reports the current outbreak at Green Correctional Facility, in fact, led to a student at the Scott M. Ellis Elementary School in Greenville contracting the virus and temporarily closing the school. The Greene County Public Health Department reports that there are 65 COVID-19 cases related to the Greene County facility as of October 20th. The Times Union reports several Rensselaer County jail guards and prisoners are in quarantine as of October 20th after possible exposure to a county corrections officer who tested positive for COVID-19. And the Daily News reports on October 19th, the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision announced the death of an incarcerated person at Fishkill Correctional Facility in Dutchess County. That was the first COVID-19-related death of a state prisoner since late July. 18 inmates in state prisons have died from COVID-19 and 5 staffers and 4 state parolees. Stephen Short, supervising attorney for the Prisoners' Rights Project at the Legal Aid Society, said, and I quote, "These deaths could have been avoided had Governor Cuomo and DOCES prioritized the release of people especially vulnerable to COVID-19," end quote. Meanwhile, the Greenville Elementary School has not said when it will reopen from the coronavirus case that came from the Coxsackie prison. Greenville County Legislature Chairperson Patrick Linger said, and I quote, "The problem is once it's into the school, it's a pretty hefty undertaking to do the contact tracing quickly. Kids come into contact with lots of people," end quote. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Greene County lawmakers were told October 19th that contractors building the new county jail have 67 working days left to go at the site. Bruce Hausler with the Pike Company said, "Crews have been working on the 64-bed facility for 482 days without any accidents or COVID-19 cases." He said the number of workers on site has increased from about 60 per day to 120. Coxsackie Republican legislator Charles Martinez teased, and I quote, "How's my million-dollar garage going?" end quote. Hausler said, and I quote, "It looks beautiful. We're getting ready to etch your name on the side of it," end quote. At one point, the jail garage was a hotly debated topic among lawmakers. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said in June the cost of the building was reduced from the original $1.3 million to a little more than $800,000. The lawmakers approved a series of change orders, all within contract allowances, this week. An additional $14,803 was authorized for Gerson Construction Group of Waterford to work on the balcony and railings, $5,508 to Bellamy Construction of Schenectady for water main repair, and $10,920 to Infrastructure Technologies of Clifton Park for electrical work. And a reduction of $40,000 was authorized for Smart Architects and Engineers of Latham for a decrease in the cost of furniture, fixtures, and equipment. The substantial completion date for the jail is January 2021. Substantial completion means jail personnel can begin moving into the building while final punch list items are completed. The State Commission of Corrections will conduct a round of inspections after the contractors are finished. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Marina Sporati is reporting for WRGB-TV. The Rensselaer County Regional Chamber of Commerce says it is seeing an increase in people looking to start a business. Chamber President Kate Manley said, and I quote, "So we've been getting a lot of calls to the chamber about them wanting to start a business. Where do I go? We've just got inquiries about ribbon cuttings, too," end quote. Dylan Turek, the Director of Economic Development for the City of Troy, says he is also seeing an uptick in new business inquiries, including new restaurants, an industry hit hard by the pandemic. Turek said, and I quote, "I think there's more people now interested in community-type businesses that might be about a center for kids to come after school. It's along those lines. Entrepreneurs starting things like apps. So there's a lot of the entrepreneurial problem solving happening right now," end quote. The Capital Region Chamber says it is also receiving inquiries from people looking to start a business. Mark Egan, president of the Capital Region Chamber, said, and I quote, "We do, twice a year, an entrepreneur boot camp for people that are inspiring small business owners," end quote. He added, and I quote, "I think whether it's a person who's had this vision before and they realize this is the time where they can really think it through and then look about executing it," end quote. Turek describes what is happening as the pandemic's silver lining. Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin attributes the trend to the county's pro-business attitude. McLaughlin said, and I quote, "Success begets success, so when you see our roads that we're paving more roads than ever before in our county, I think people start saying there's really something going on here. This is the place we want to be, and our location is phenomenal," end quote. Read the full story at CBS6Albany.com. Raymond Pignon is reporting for Columbia Green Media on the two candidates competing for the open seat on the Durham Town Board in the November election. Republicans are running Lisa M. Cirillo. Cirillo, 60, moved upstate in 2001 and lived in Oak Hill until 2008 when she moved to East Durham. She was employed by the Office of the Comptroller as an Employees Retirement Systems Examiner. This is her first bid for elected office. Cirillo defines economic development as the top issue facing the community. She currently serves on the Committee for Economic Development. She claims a good fit for town board because of her government experience. Cirillo says, and I quote, "I have worked in local and state government for almost 20 years. I look forward to being a voice of the people in our town and helping them to accomplish what they believe needs to be changed. In my capacity as community member for economic development, I hope to help bring a much-needed medical facility to our town," end quote. Lifetime East Durham resident Brianna Rustick, 20, is running on the Democrat line. Will graduate from the College of St. Rose in December with a degree in criminal justice. Rustick ran for the Durham Town Board in 2019. She said, and I quote, "One of the issues facing the town of Durham right now is the issue of broadband and cell service. Especially in this time during COVID-19, with lots of things moving online, such as school and work. It has been really hard for a majority of town residents because they have had to utilize the wireless internet from various businesses in town," end quote. Rustick said it is doubly hard for the younger members of the community because they also lack the transportation needed to get to locations where Wi-Fi is available, end quote. Rustick said she would be a good choice for the town board, and I quote, "because I'm different than what has been the typical council member. Not only am I younger, but I am a different political party than the other members. I think this would not only be a perfect way to get the different generations of the town to work together, but also to make people aware that those of different political parties can work together to make Durham the best it can be," end quote. Read more at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.